writer, editor, writer's coach, and creator of the online course Writer Unleashed. Her work has been published in The New Yorker, Red Book, and the Italian lifestyle magazine Initio. Nancy holds an MFA in writing from Vermont College of Fine Arts and is a finalist in the Howard Frank Mosher Short Fiction Prize and the Gulf Coast Fiction Award. Nancy blogs about writing and the writing life at emergingwriters.us. Yeah. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, thank you for coming. I'd like to know more about your background and what made you become a writer, or maybe you've always been a writer.
Well, I always loved to read, and I think that that was the spark that got me interested in writing in the first place. But I remember very clearly the first time I realized how much I loved to write. And that was the very first writing assignment I got in school. And I don't remember what grade it was in. Maybe I was in third or fourth. But I remember the assignment was to describe my bedroom. And I spent hours and hours. I couldn't tear myself away from the page. And I just loved to disappear into it. And it was the first time I really felt this great sense of flow and excitement. And from that moment on, I knew that writing was something I wanted to do. And then as I got older, I continued to write, but I had somehow bought into this belief, which I think many writers do, that writing fiction was not a viable pursuit. So I went to college, went to school, and kind of pushed the writing desire aside. But of course, it kept reemerging. So I would take workshops and continue to dip back into it here and there. But by the time I graduated college, I was already set to have more of a corporate job. But I
What major did you
I majored in communications. So what I found, though, as I was working in magazines and advertising, I thought that as long as I was writing as a job, I would be somewhat satisfied, and then I could write on the side. But I found very quickly that it wasn't something I wanted to pursue. I really wanted to pursue the creative writing. And when I worked in advertising, I worked for an account manager for Fruit of the Loom underwear, and I thought I could sneak my way into the creative department somehow and, you know, climb the ladder, so to speak. But then my boss fired me because I was a terrible secretary, and she wanted me to go to secretarial school, and I said, no way. So she fired me, and then I realized, well, okay, here's my chance. I was about 23, I think, at the time, maybe 24. And I realized, okay, now's my chance to write a novel. That's what I'm going to do. So I, instead of finding another job, I took a waitressing job at Chi Chi's with this resolve that I was going to finally write my novel. But within 6 months, that fell apart because I had no idea how to write a novel, and I felt creatively bereft. I didn't have the technique. I had the desire, but I had no idea what I was doing. So I quickly lost motivation and faith in myself, and I did the next very improvident thing, which was to go back to dancing. So I started teaching ballroom dancing at a Fred Astaire dance studio, and again, with the resolve to continue to develop my craft. So in between lessons, I would have my notebook out, and I would be writing and writing. And in and around that time, I started to take workshops in the city. And then I realized that I wasn't really a novelist. I was a short story writer. That was the form that really spoke to me. So I began doing that. And, you know, throughout my adulthood, of course, things got in the way, other responsibilities. you have to earn money and all of that. So I still didn't really think that writing was something I could actually do full time. And then I decided finally, after having a freelance writing business for a while, that I was going to just take the plunge and finally get an MFA and take the writing really seriously. I was about 39 at the time. And it was the best thing I ever did, because this was where I finally learned how to read with attention to craft. And it was so exciting. And I was working one-on-one with a mentor every semester. And my writing just took off from there. I finally felt grounded. I felt, even though I still feel like I'm floundering around, I know how to navigate my way back into the story to give it a shape. That's the sum total of my background in writing.
So as a graduate student at Vermont College of Fine Arts, you would work with a mentor, you would bring your short stories, and he would give you feedback.
It was through the mail, so we would.
Okay.
So I would send about 25 pages of new work and revised, a mix of that, and I would get a very thorough critique and letter helping me find my way through the story and give it some kind of a shape. And then we also, twice a year, went to the college, university for the residency, which was chock full of great workshops and lectures. It was phenomenal. So it was really the best investment I ever made in myself and in my writing.
Well, this is a very prestigious program. I met other writers who studied there, and they all told me the same thing. This was the best investment. And some of them enrolled in this program, the same like you, later in life, after having, you know, business degrees from Harvard and doing lots of other things, finally ended up in Vermont College of Fine Arts, getting an MFA in writing. Very interesting. So what is so good about this program?
I think what I really loved about it was that, first of all, the teachers there are amazing. They're amazing mentors. They're so knowledgeable, and they really teach you how to read as a writer, which I think is so important, because before that, and I had taken many workshops prior to getting my MFA, but this was the first time I had to tease out certain elements of craft and discuss it and write about it. And
so it would be like a literary commentary or a critical
essay. Well, part of the program is that you write essays on craft. You pick one very specific element of craft, say first-person narration or point of view or use of flashback, things like that. And you also are required to write a critical thesis where you compare different works of fiction and how they work and how they don't work. So it was just the best training I could ever hope for.
So it gives you a robust knowledge of literature and what good literature looks like.
And I know how to read, which is the best gift ever.
Nancy Panucci, a fiction writer, and actually, Nancy, you are also an editor and a coach. Do you make a living as a writer? Would you call yourself a professional writer?
I worked as a professional writer for magazines and corporate clients for a very long time. These days, I'm making my living as a writer's coach, as an editor, as an independent editor for writers that are working on their novels or their memoir or their short stories. And I also have my online class, so I have all those different ways of and doing my writing in the hours in between that.
What do you write about?
You know, I never set out to with that in mind, ever. It's something that I discover in the process of revision.
You only write fiction, right? Never nonfiction?
I'm just beginning memoir now.
Okay.
So, but still, I never really know what it's about. However, I think that as many writers, there are things that continually obsess me or perplex me, things that I'm always trying to figure out And I would say, if I was going to say what I write about, it's more thematic. Like, I think the common theme for me tends to be ideas about grief or disillusionment, how relationships end and don't survive, things like that. But I never set out thinking, okay, I'm going to write about this. I don't think we have...
So you start with a theme, not some sort of a character development or a plot or...
You know, everyone has... It depends, but everyone has their own way in. For me, I usually start with a moment, a memory that... For whatever reason, I just can't forget. It's something that I'm trying to understand. So that's where I start. And sometimes I start with an image or something that just happened an hour ago. It could be anything. But I don't start out saying, okay, I'm going to write about this.
And it's interesting that you also mentioned you think of yourself as a short story mm-hmm. writer, but you just started to work on a memoir. Mm-hmm. And your memoir, weren't you tempted to start maybe with a series of personal essays or?
Well, at this point, I don't know, because I'm not sure if it's going to be a full book yet.
Okay.
I might. They may be essays. At this point, I'm just opening it up and exploring my material. I don't have it in any specific form. So, and that's part of how I teach. I think that we need to lose a certain amount of control over the material and just write and be very receptive. Because to me, writing is a very receptive process. It's not totally intellectual. So I have to trust that whatever comes up, at some point I will find the form for it once I have it down on paper.
We had a very Writers in the Mountains. We hosted a very interesting panel on fiction on May 3rd in Woodstock at the Golden Notebook Bookstore. Very interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you later about fiction, literary fiction, genre fiction, so forth and so on. But Elizabeth Brundage was there, and one of the things that she said, write a book that conveys your image of the world. So going back to things that you know, interest you, and then you pick the right form, something that works for you. For some people, it's just lyrics, it's just poetry. That's mm-hmm. how they convey whatever it is that they want to convey.
Yeah, and you know, that's what they mean by write what you know. It's not about the facts of the experience. It's what you're trying to learn about yourself through the writing itself.
It's very interesting because you start a book project, right? And you're going to commit a lot of time to that project, and there's a research phase. It's something that definitely becomes part of who you are, because you're going to be spending so much time on that project. And I also think of it from a personal branding perspective. What kind of person or what kind of writer are you, right? So your name is going to become so strongly associated with whatever book mm-hmm. or type of writing you're getting into, that I don't know if every writer thinks of all these facets of, or they just feel, well, I have to write this, I'm just going to sit down and type, or
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, to me, that's the essence of voice. Is it's really about letting your own eccentricities and your pathos, your desire, all your vulnerabilities and your flaws, and kind of letting that bear on the narrative, you know. It's a process of letting go, and that's really where voice comes from. And then once you have that on the page, then you can start to, you know, play around with structure and, you know, find the plot, so to speak, and then start to really work on the sentence level. And that's, you know, it's a very involved process, but it is one of the most joyful aspects of writing, you know, just continuing to revisit the material, because we don't really know what we know what we know about ourselves, really, until we go through a very lengthy revision process. And to me, revision is one of the joys of writing, and I didn't always feel that way. I used to really just love the rush of the first draft, and I had no idea how to revise, and it was really painful for me. But now I'm happy to say that that is reversed. Now I feel more anxious about the first draft, but I love revision because it allows me to feel grounded in the story, and the more I revisit that material, the more the story emerges for me. And that's where, for me at least, the structure starts to come into play.
It's interesting that you call it revision, not editing, because I've spoken with many writers and they say, well, writing your first draft requires certain set of skills, then going back and editing, different skills, right? You're looking at the material with different eyes, the editor's eyes. You call it revision. So you write many drafts, and I don't know. You're also an editor, so I don't know how you separate the writer's eyes from the editor's eyes, or...
Well, I mean, it helps to get feedback on your work, because it's really hard. First of all, I think it's hard for any of us to see what we're doing really well already, and in my experience working with writers, no matter how new they are to the process of writing, they're extraordinary in some way. They're doing something that they're just not even aware of because it's so innate. And sometimes you need another set of eyes to shed light on that, and then work on the things that may not be as strong, and to strengthen that and magnify your strengths. But there's a lot of writers, I think, have this mistaken belief that editing is more about replacing a word here and there, or moving scenes around, or, you know, working with commas, or, you know, moving things around a bit. But it's actually re-envisioning your work. And that's the beauty of it. And we get to spend a long time in this process, and it's a very important part of it.
Well, definitely, and you know, the writer gets tired, so of course you need fresh eyes, new energy. And I looked at manuscripts, like, you know, this writer, you know, she at a certain point halfway through the novel she changes the name the name of the character, but she forgets to edit the rest of the manuscript. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important to bring in someone who is not really so attached to the material.
Right.
Nancy, we mentioned the Italian Lifestyle magazine in Italy. Do you also write in Italian, or?
No, that was an American magazine about Italian lifestyle, and it was in conjunction with Campari. So I was working with them.
So you only write in English.
I only write in English. I speak a little Italian, and I understand a little. I can read in Italian, but no, this was in English.
I'm Simona David. It's Accent on Monday. I'm speaking with fiction writer Nancy Panuccio. Nancy will be teaching a fiction writing workshop for writers in the mountains June 4th to July 9th at Fairview Library in Margaretville. We'll be talking specifically about that workshop later in the program, but Nancy also blogs at emergingwriters.us, and she is also a writer's coach and developed an online course called Writer Unleashed. And Nancy, I want to talk specifically about some of the things that you talk about on your blog, and how does one get good at writing. I also want to talk about your teaching method. We're gonna get to that, in one of the entries on your blog, you write about uncertainty, how to deal with it, writing with and beyond uncertainty. Let's talk about that. And you start by saying there's a conventional way to do this, and the conventional advice goes something like this, and then...
Right, well, the conventional advice goes something like, know what you're going to write about before you write it. Have everything in place. Know what your character eats for breakfast and what his relationship was with his mother, and an assortment of kind of surface things. Go through the arc of conflict resolution, rising action, all of that. To me, I think at least whenever I've tried to do that way, my work has been really very shallow. and very unsatisfying to me, which is why I stopped writing my novel so many years ago, because I felt disconnected from it. So I think it's better to not know where you're going, because for me, writing is a process of discovery, and we're really connecting. Ultimately, our character is very much like us in terms of the emotional truths, things that we're trying to figure out, things that we're trying to learn as we move through the material, and that transfers onto the character. If we know too much at the outset, then our characters are really just, they're not breathing, you know, they're just playing the part, they're plugged in, and it makes for very uninteresting narratives, in my opinion. So, and also just from a creative standpoint, not knowing opens space in our mind for to be receptive. Otherwise, we're closing all the possibilities off.
I think what I'm getting is that the writer's emotional state is going to be conveyed through words. I mean, if the writer is excited or there's some mystery there that the writer is exploring but doesn't know, it's going to, you know, that's going to be conveyed in the words she's going to put on the page.
I think a lot of writers avoid that. They want to be certain. They're very uncomfortable with uncertainty in the writing process. But it really, the uncertainty part is essential to the creative process. You know, we have something called divergent thinking and convergent thinking. And divergent thinking is where we don't know where it's going to go. And that's where all the possibilities happen. It really is essential. That kind of chaos is essential to writing anything really good and really powerful.
So you would say don't be too calculated about everything. I've been talking with other writers, like, well, you have to, when you work out a character, make sure it's not too self-contradictory than the other point of view was, but not too logical either, because humans, you know, your typical human being is going to self-contradict.
Exactly.
And how do you write something good, right? What is good writing?
Well, to me, good writing, when I read something that really moves me, it shows me something about what it's like to be human, you know? It's a way of knowing that we're not alone, that the parts of us that feel most damaged or malfunctioned or, you know, deeply flawed, we tend not to want to reveal that in our writing through our characters, but that's exactly what readers find most fascinating, because they can connect with imperfect human beings, and that's what we want to go for on the page.
And you know, speaking of writers, well, all fiction, to a certain extent, is nonfiction too, because it is inspired by people like ourselves, or people we meet, or events that may have happened. Or you say that plot, character, and theme are ways of thinking your way through your material as you write, right? It's not something you do first and then you're done. It comes from engaging with your work ever more deeply as you revise and re-envision your work. Have you met writers who say, well, my first draft is my final draft, that's it, I don't edit, I don't revise my work?
I don't meet any writers that say that, although Arundhati Roy said of the God of Small Things that she went through the draft once more. But, you know, that's the exception. I mean, sometimes it happens. You know, sometimes our first draft is pretty much fully formed, and it doesn't need that much. That happens, but it is pretty rare.
Oh, you would say, well, it's authentic. It's your first impulse. It's what's really authentic, what is really true, that is not too worked out, right?
Right.
You also write online at Emerging Writer Studios about emotions and how to write, draw readers in emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to talk a little bit about emotions in writing, because literature, any form of art, has to move mm-hmm. the reader or the viewer to be of any interest at all. So what is your advice? How do you go about that?
To convey emotion?
Yes.
And okay,
yes. How to use emotions and how to convey emotions and
There are several ways to do it, but I think the whole point is to allow the reader to enter into the interior of the character. And we can't do that by saying she felt sad, or, you know, it can't be melodramatic or too simple, because feelings are very complex. So we can be happy and sad at the same time, really. We're never just one emotion or the other. There's usually a mix of emotions happening simultaneously. So how do we get at that complexity of emotion? Well, one way is to pay attention to the objects or the world observed as the character, because objects, and this is really what the point of what point of view is all about, is having the objects be a container for those emotions. So the more physical we can get, like even the setting, everything there is seen through the character's viewpoint, the main character. And how you get an emotion, really, sometimes it's better not to chase the reader into a corner with it, but to have a little more restraint and focus more on the world observed by the character.
We hear a lot, well, show, don't tell. Yeah, because
right.
That would make a very boring book. But I was in a workshop where we were given an assignment, convey the personality mm-hmm. of your hero through the objects that he, she, her, surrounds herself mm-hmm. or himself with, and what he's doing or she's doing, the routine. In other words, you're not going to say someone is impulsive, or, you know, you can just say the way he or she touched something, or the way he or she did something. That's going to convey to the reader the detail there, like maybe this character is a little bit impulsive or something like
mm-hmm.
that. You're not just going to say, right?
No, well,
you use all kinds of artificial...
Right. I mean... you can do it through body language, you can do it through gestures, you can do it through action. There's so many ways to approach it without being direct about it. My favorite way is to use metaphor to get at those emotions, because a lot of times the character, it's really fun when the reader knows certain interior things about the character that even the character doesn't know, you know? So that's really satisfying to me, when I'm not told how to feel, but I feel it. I feel for the character. And that comes with having a very complex character and really inhabiting, as a writer, inhabiting their soul, you know, and really feeling your way into them.
And each book and, you know, each character is going to mean different things to different readers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to leave, I guess, enough room for the reader to fill in, because everybody's going to read through their own biases, their
sure.
own filters. How do you get good at it? I guess do writers have what am I saying here? Do
mm-hmm.
they really have to know human psychology and how emotions play, or...
Well, I wouldn't say that you need to know psychology.
You
so
don't
much.
Have to enroll in psychology.
Yeah. I think that through the writing process, you're almost...
you just have to know people, or...?
I think what I really love about writing is that, especially when we're basing our characters on real people, what we're trying to do ultimately is gain greater compassion. So even with a character who's does something really bad, you can find something good in that character to complicate our reaction. You know, there's this great story by Andre Dubois called Killings. It was a movie called In the Bedroom. That movie was based on the story. And it's about a father who loses his son. His son has been murdered. And he seeks retribution. So he comes up with this plot to have his son's murderer. He picks him up one night and says, "Listen, I'm gonna have you pack your bags, and I'm gonna put you on a plane. I don't want to see you anymore." So he ultimately shoots and kills him. But in that time between the time he picks him up and kills him, we've met the killer's vulnerabilities and some of his good points. So we actually feel more compassion for the killer, which is an interesting contradiction.
Fiction writer Nancy Panuccio will be talking more about fiction writing shortly.
Hi, this is Arnie Schwartz, host of Talk of the Town. I will interview town supervisors, mayors, superintendents, and other interesting officials from our diverse communities in and around the Catskills region. So join me, and we will learn what's happening straight from the horse's mouth on Talk of the Town, Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock, only on WIOX Community Radio 91.3 FM, WIOXradio.org, and on your intelligent device.
WIOX is supported by Spillion, the Catskills Inn and Retreat Center in Fleischmann's, with 8 elegantly whimsical bedrooms, wood-burning fireplaces, exquisite historic wall frescoes, a great room with an antique Steinway grand and a concert grand harp, all on 33 acres of meadows and forested trails with glorious views. A place to imagine past what you think is possible. Available for special events, group rentals, corporate retreats, and lodging. 800-811-3351 or spillion.com.
WIOX Community Radio. I'm Simona Davy. The time is 1:35. Temperature 83 degrees Fahrenheit today. A really warm day here in Roxbury. I'll be speaking more with Nancy about fiction writing, character development, plot. Nancy writes online at emergingwriters.us. She writes about all kinds of interesting things. Now I want to ask her about a character questionnaire she put together, the actor's technique, right, Nancy? And how do you go about developing a character, understanding the character, and what comes first? I mean, we talked about this before. Mm-hmm. It's different. I mean, you usually start with a theme. Other writers have a plot, a conflict in mind. Others have a character, a really strong character, and they build a story around that character. Now, let's talk specifically about this character questionnaire that you posted online at emergingwriters.us.
Okay, well, first let me talk about the plot versus story, because I think, I know for some writers working from the outside in is fine, and it works for some, but most of the writers that I coach have a very hard time with that, starting out with a plot and, you know, having their beginning, middle, and end and knowing it all before. But there's a difference between plot and story, and plot is what happens. You know, it's, you know, this happened and this happened and this and so on. It's the events that happen along the trajectory. But story is really all about character. And I think that's where we have to start. I think that's the first, we need to get the character's journey, the arc, the emotional arc, because that's the reaction to what happened. So character, story, is the reaction to the plot. So in a way, the plot can be anything you want once you understand the character, which is actually very liberating. So in getting to know our characters, there's so many ways of doing it. And I've been frustrated with certain questionnaires only because they seem to just scratch the surface and get at things that I don't think are really important. And when I was working with my mentor, Diane Leffer, she had a series of really powerful exercises that really helped me enter into my character's psyche, especially characters that I didn't have a fix on because they were either doing things that I couldn't see myself ever doing or understanding. And this gets at this idea that we all have, a killer and a saint inside of us. We have urges to do things that we wouldn't normally do. It doesn't mean we do them. We suppress them. But we can certainly relate to a character who does something terrible, you know, by understanding why they do it and the desire and the intention behind it. So when we talk about using an actor's technique, it's a way of delving deeper. So some of the questions, for example, are, you know, what is hell like to you? What is heaven like? What is the worst thing that could happen to you? Things that really go more into, it's like a meditation. And if we ask these questions, our characters can really tell us a lot by kind of meditating on those deeper questions.
So you have to be perfectly clear about this before you even start to write?
No, it's all part of the writing process. Okay. I don't think you should be clear about anything before. I think this all becomes clear. And let me just say that if you're struggling with a character, these are exercises that you do throughout the writing process.
Yeah,
it's not that you start out with it. You start writing, and then you say, oh, well, I don't really feel that this character is complicated enough. I don't understand this character. And what we don't want to do, the last thing we want to do is create a stereotype or a stock character, because that's dismissible to the reader. So we really want to get at those complexities, especially with troublesome characters, you know, or any character that we don't understand. And using an actor's technique, and there are a few others that I use, that I learned, and actors do this all the time. You know, they play people that do some horrendous things or things that they just don't really relate to in everyday life, but they use these kind of techniques to understand and kind of connect on a human level to their character.
And you also write about, you give a piece of advice on how to write better dialogues, because lots of writers struggle with this. How do you write a dialogue that kind of looks authentic? Like, is this how these two characters would talk to each other, or is this how people talk? Or
yeah. The first thing I would say is to pay attention to the way that you talk to the people that you're closest with. We're never articulate in our most emotionally charged moments. We never are. And some of the mistakes that I see writers make is their dialogue is too explicit, and sometimes it's explaining the story too much. It's carrying too much of the story's weight.
So it doesn't have to be a confession. I mean, okay.
Right. And sometimes it's too expository, and it doesn't feel authentic. But on the other hand, it's not a transcription of real-life dialogue. However, I do find it useful to sometimes eavesdrop on conversations and jot it down. Jot down little snippets of it, and certainly pay attention to the way that you talk to people. We often talk in metaphors. We're rarely direct. Sometimes we are, but not in our most emotionally charged moments, we're not. And that said, dialogue is there to move the story forward and to reveal character and to reveal the friction between characters. So we often, it's useful to pay attention to the way people don't listen to one another or don't answer each other directly.
And of course, you're going to embellish, but I mean, because what we're talking about, like, characters that would resemble, let's say, typical people, but there are also eccentric people, you mm-hmm. know, the way they conduct dialogue, the way they make conversation mm-hmm. may be different. So I guess, you know, it is different based on what kind of character you want to...
And it is also develop. Based on their desire, you know, what's driving them through the story. It's always a desire that's urging them through the story. And that's why the character exploration is such an important process of the writing of writing anything.
So of course, you're going to have characters who are good at, they like to converse, and also you're going to have introverts that there's not much dialogue there, right?
Right. So
Nancy, you are an editor on the writer's coach. You're not just a fiction writer, and you work with lots of other writers and give advice. Sometimes you teach them how to write. Other times, how to get published or get closer to mm-hmm. that. Sometimes you advise them on how to deal with setbacks, define success. Well, it's a little bit philosophical, but you do touch upon that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, lots of writers have day jobs, and mm-hmm. for them, fiction writing is a hobby. They don't really have any plans with that. Others, maybe they want to make a living mm-hmm. by doing that full time. And what's important here to keep progress of what is it that you to keep track of what you're trying to accomplish, and then assess your progress towards mm-hmm. those goals? Or
well, I mean, I think just about every writer that I work with, their ultimate goal is to get published. But I think the deeper goal is that we all want to be heard, and we all want our story to be heard, and we want that validation. You know, it says, well, I'm real. You know, I'm here. This is what matters to me. That said, publishing is not, that's the apex, but the real success to me comes in the process. You're not a writer once you get published. You have to become a writer first before you become published. And, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a camel walk to develop the craft that brings it to a level that's publishable. So you have to love the process. And to me, that is the success. If I get to do this on a regular basis, I'm really happy. I don't, you know, the publishing part is, you know, the icing on the cake, but the real win for me is to be able to immerse myself in the process of writing. And to me, that's the biggest reward, is to be doing it.
Well, you know, we're living in, you know, this is the brave new world in publishing, and someone saying publishing is no longer an industry is a button. It's very easy to get published today, but I guess the question is, are you ready? Is this how you want to be published? Is this, you know, what you want to publish, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very easy to get published, and once you have the right book, the right project, mm-hmm. you think it's right for you and for your readers.
Right.
It doesn't need any more polishing.
That's true. I mean, there's self-publishing now, and indie publishing, and all of that. But I think in the end, it's your satisfaction with the work that determines your success. And everything else is external. And, you know, even it's been shown that external rewards actually demotivate us. So if we're always thinking that, okay, now this has got to be published before we even really finish it, that can be very demotivating. But if we can just immerse ourselves in the process, which is so delightful to me. I mean, I think that's really why most writers write. They just really love the experience of writing. And the publishing is something, you know, outside of that. And it's a worthy endeavor, but sometimes it gets in the way of writing a really good story.
I'm Simona David. It's Accent on Monday on WIOX Community Radio 91.3 FM, online at wioxradio.org. I'm speaking with fiction writer Nancy Panuccio. Nancy will be teaching a fiction writing workshop for writers in the mountains June 4th to July 9th, Fairview Library in Margaretville. I'm reading from the course description. A work of fiction is a dream space that can transport a reader into an imaginary world that feels real and true. Creating this fictional dream requires the alchemy of risk, play, technique, and insight into human nature. This six-week class will teach you essential craft elements to write mesmerizing prose. Whether you desire to write novels, short stories, flash fiction, or novellas, you'll learn to transform your imagination into believable, captivating narratives. Together, we'll explore character development, that's Nancy and the participating students, character development, point of view, voice, plot, scene, description, and dialogue. Handouts from published authors will illuminate craft, and writing exercises will deepen and cultivate your skills. You'll also have the opportunity to share your work and receive feedback from your instructor and classmates. This workshop is ideal for beginners and anyone who wants to sharpen fundamentals. The goal in this six-week workshop is to write one short story or beginner novel and to gain solid footing on basic fiction writing techniques. So Nancy, let's briefly talk about what you seek to accomplish with this workshop. We talked a little bit about character, plot, dialogue. We didn't really talk about voice. But what exactly do you plan to accomplish with this?
Well, the first thing I like to begin with any workshop is to think about the difference between one author's voice from another, and to help the participants tap into the things that they really want to write about that they can't help writing about. So that will be the start of it, and then we'll be exploring that through different exercises that will help them, you know, establish a narrative voice, established an author's voice. There'll be reading excerpts where we'll tease out certain aspects of craft, like, let's say, dialogue. We'll just look at the dialogue. We'll learn about how to create a scene. What are the components of a scene? What's scene versus summary? How much flashback do we need? So we'll be exploring those topics in more detail. And the fun part is, well, we'll be doing exercises to help them along with that. But where we really get to dive deep is when we give feedback on the writer's work. Because every writer struggles with the same stuff. We all struggle with issues of point of view. What's the best point of view? What's the distance from the events being told? What's the character's distance? How do we create interest right on the sentence level? How can we make the sentence more interesting and more invigorated? So it's a balance of deep discussion on craft, writing exercises, and feedback on the participants' work, which is where the fun happens.
When we began this program today, you were talking about the exploratory phase. At first, you don't know. I mean, you didn't know. You started a novel, then you decided you're more of a short story writer. So I guess the exploratory phase is very important, especially this is a workshop that suits very well a beginner, right? But you can also accommodate advanced writer who may want to take the workshop just to refine their dialogues, or they may be struggling with something that they want to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, there's various levels of beginner, but I would say...
right.
Yeah, and so I've had writers in my workshop that have been writing for 10 years, you know, because sometimes it takes that long, really, to write a book. It could take longer, of course, but, you know, there's a steep learning curve to that. So I think it's basically for anyone who's unpublished and wants to publish and wants to really hone the narrative skills that actually give them more freedom, you know, because we have to at first let go. We have to relinquish any control over the material. But then once it's there, we have to start harnessing everything that made it onto the page and begin to shape it. And that's where the craft comes in, and that's where the freedom really comes in. And it's really exciting.
And I bet it's different, and you have a different technique for each of these. I mean, to help someone who is writing a novel as opposed to a novella or short stories or flash fiction, mm-hmm. which is very short fiction. So,
yeah. Well, let's talk about the difference. I mean, the elements, the craft elements are the same, but the difference with novels and short stories, for example, the novel has a larger canvas. You know, they all have a different size canvas to work on. So a novel will have more, may have more characters, but it also generally has some subplots happening that mirror or magnify the main plot. Short stories tend to illuminate a moment, and there's less, maybe less, flashback or backstory. Flash fiction, however, is usually 1,000 words or less, and it generally has little to no backstory, and it's focused on one time in one place, as opposed to a series of scenes.
That's great.
So it's closer to poetry in that sense. It's actually very challenging to do, and it's very good training. I think short fiction is great training for novelists too, which is why
flash fiction, right?
Or short stories. Yeah, it's really difficult. A lot of people think just because it's shorter that it might be easier, but that's not true. I think it's great for any writer, aspiring novelist, to learn how to rein things in and have some limitations, so that they can really learn and practice, because writing is a rigorous practice. It's an art. It's just like any other art. It's just like learning to dance, and in the ballet, and it's training. So it doesn't come easy, but it is so much fun to really work on it, and it's so exciting.